Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
And I hope you have your copy of God's Word this morning, and we're in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to find your place there, as we're going to study one of those who walked by faith and was walking to that precious promised land, Father Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, we want to have enduring faith like Father Abraham that goes by faith. And as you're turning there, I just want to talk this morning about the thing that Abraham embodies for us, and that's a faith that goes forward, a faith that believes what God says, a faith that simply obeys the truth that he shares with us in his word. And you have to make a choice and see clearly what God is telling you and then go forward. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure how your vision is. Some people I know have that 20/20 vision. I once did, but some are 20/100 and 20/200. I'm nearsighted, which means I can't see far. And of course, if you're farsighted, you can't see near. And I don't know who said that and figured that out that way, but that's a whole other story, I guess. But, you know, not being nearsighted, I can't see far. I wear these so I can see y'all on the back row and make sure that that you got your Bibles open this morning and all. But as I've gotten older, my vision hasn't gotten much better. I don't know about yours as well. I've got the trifocals now, right? Of course, you can't see them, but I need these things to be able to see. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I wish that that I had some goggles that I could put on here, some glasses I could put on so I could see more clearly what's happening spiritually around us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have these for our physical eyes, but wouldn't it be nice to have like glasses that you could put on, not your shades, you know, for the paparazzi that are out there, right? But your glasses that you could see spiritually what's going on in this world and have a better understanding. I put these on to fix my nearsightedness, but in a spiritual way, some of us can't see far because all we can see is near. And we need glasses to help us to see what's out there on the horizon, because that should inspire us for the steps we're taking right now. I mean, I need God's word. You need God's word to not only enlighten our steps that we take each day by faith, but as the psalmist would say in Psalm 119, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. It shows us the direction we need to go. So I need to see both near and far. I need to have good vision in both what's happening immediately in my life, but also where are my steps leading? Where are my steps taking me? Because the future is unknown to us, but it's not unknown to our God. Amen. What's certain is what he has told us in his word. And so based on the clear word that he gives us, he tells us what the future holds for us, and we have to go forward in faith. And that's what Father Abraham had to do. I need to be able to see that way, because a lot of times the decisions that we make without that certainty of the unknown, we may not take a step of faith. We may not go forward in faith. I mean, you stop and think about it. Sometimes some of the decisions that we've made in life, you know, would we have taken that job if we had known more about it, right? Well, we took it in faith. If we had, you know, invested and poured our life into a company not knowing what would ultimately become of it, would we have done that? I mean, if we knew all the future, how would that impact the decisions that we make, the relationships that we build, the decisions that we make each and every day? And the best way to see farther, I've discovered in life, is to have a higher perspective. You know, out in these forests, out in these woods, there's these great big towers that forest rangers, they can climb up in, and they can see out a great distance, and they can tell if there's danger on the horizon from a fire. If you go down there to Charlotte and you go up in that Bank of America Tower, I've been up there. It's, you know, they got elevators that go just to the top section there of the tower, and it's really amazing. But man, when you get up there and look out, and you can just see all the suburbs, you can see just the distance you can see. Spiritually, it's the same way. We want a perspective that has the highest perspective possible to look out and see what's happening in life, so I can make sense of it in the decisions that I'm making each day. That's what Father Abraham had to do. That's what the patriarchs had to do. They had a higher perspective because God spoke to them and told them what they needed to do. And so by walking with him and talking with him and listening to him, God gave them the light from his word illumining their life and illumining the path that they should walk down and trust in him. Now listen, sometimes that path takes us through some dark valleys and then over some mountaintops. And in order to reach the mountaintop, sometimes we have to go through the valley. But God shows us and we can trust the one who has spoken to us that the word he speaks is truth. And because he sees far more clearly than any of us, right? His ways are so much higher. His thoughts are so much higher, Isaiah would tell us. I need to hear him speak and have faith to believe that he is one I can trust in. And I need to see clearly and go ahead. Now, the important thing there is to realize I don't want my vision to be obscured in any way. I don't want it to be anything to be causing me to not be eagle-eyed, focused, laser-focused, attentive to what he's saying going forward. But this is what Abraham shows us. Faith goes forward even when you haven't seen it. I mean, isn't that what we learned in verse 1 even, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that was the definition of faith that we discovered several weeks ago. But here's Abraham who's going to embody that. Abraham's going to show us what that looks like. And not just him. His sons, Isaac and Jacob, and the patriarchs, and even Sarai, believing things that are unseen and going forward in faith. God wants our faith to be durable, to endure hardships and difficulties and even difficult times, to go forward and to persevere. And the reason that that's possible is because we know the end. Amen? We've seen further, not just spatially, but time-wise, right? We've seen because God has given us a glimpse of the future. And you and I can trust him and take him at his word and build our life on what he says. And that's what we want to do. It's what Abraham, the father of faith, had to do. And he models that for us. And so we want to read about this morning. So if you'll stand with me in honor of the word of the Lord, Hebrews chapter 11. We've got a large section I'm going to read through this morning. So follow along with me here in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Notice this, he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Notice this now. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? For he has prepared a city for them. Father, we come as your people, walking by faith, believing that there is something better for us, something we're looking forward to. Precious Jesus, take my hand until we reach that promised land. May that be our desire today, to hear you speak, Lord, that your word would shape our steps of faith now based on what we know will be ultimate. What will happen one day, perhaps even soon. And Father, thank you that in our journey, Lord, as we walk through life, we don't walk alone. You are Emmanuel. As David said, you are the shepherd who's always with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. We praise you for that this morning. May we realize that. Lord, we also call on you today because we realize the decisions and the direction we're going, Lord, it can influence others around us, Lord. And we want to take as many as we can with us on this journey. And so, Lord, help us to walk in such a way, or as we sang, march to Zion, Lord, in such a way that, Lord, we're confident and assured that, Lord, we will reach that golden strand. We love you today and ask now, Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. Give us ears that want to hear, hearts that want to obey, and hearts that want to go forward in faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Just three key things here from the text that we want to see about faith that sees clearly and faith that goes forward. If you trace the verbs down there in verse 13, all these who died in faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, the patriarchs, those who received a promise and went forward, they went forward without realizing the promises God had, but when he spoke to them, their faith understood that he was a gracious giver and he promised things, and so they went forward. That's what faith does. It sees and understands and believes what God says will take place. Notice the verbs here. They're kind of important, that verse 13, when it says this. All these, listen, having seen these promises, though they didn't receive them, having seen them afar off, notice this, were assured of them, embrace them, and confess. These verbs are important. Faith sees and understands. It chooses to believe. When God speaks, that's it. You and I, listen, remember, our God is not seen. Our God is heard. He speaks to us. Idols are things that you see. We don't believe in that. Our God makes himself known through his word. He speaks to us, and creation is speaking to us. Christ, the living word, came and spoke to us, and now we have an account of that right here, eyewitness testimony, where God speaks to us. He speaks. And faith, listen, faith doesn't always see physically what God has promised. That's what Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah, that's what they embody, what they show us. I mean, stop and think about it. How do you have a man that's in his hundreds and Sarai, who's, you know, who can't conceive? She's barren in Genesis, it tells us. How could they possibly have a child? How hilarious was that when Sarah laughed, right? Oh, I'm really going to have a baby. Yes, you will. In fact, you named him Isaac, which means laughter, which is fascinating to me. How is that even possible? It did not see, and there was no way that they could see that taking place. But God had promised that it would happen. And that's what faith does. Faith takes God at his word and sees and understands. And when that faith does that, those promises are something that are assured. In other words, that's something that we rest in, that God is reliable and will do precisely what he says. So we grab that. We are confident. We have a conviction that God speaks, and so it will be. In fact, that faith then embraces or holds that promise close. It's not so much that we hold it. Sometimes I think it holds us, right? It grips us. I will not be moved from this position. Why? Because I've heard God speak, and I know what he has said is true. And when you believe that, you confess your identity. You realize you're his people, and you're just marching through this land. All of these saw afar off something that influenced the way they lived in their day. They had long range vision. They could see spiritually in the distance. They were looking in the distance. So oftentimes we're just looking right down here at the immediate, and we're not looking out there on the horizon. What does God have in store for us? God called Abraham. He was Abram when he called him there in Ur of the Chaldees, modern day Iraq. In fact, remember, this all happened after there was the judgment there on the Babel and the Babylonian the Babel system that was created because of that. So when they built that temple of people that were being rebellious and not doing what God told them to do, God judged them. And here was Abram that God found favor with God, and he called him and said, "Listen, I want you to go somewhere you've never been." Now stop and think about this for a moment, okay? Again, I love this picture. Remember those AAA maps we used to get all the time, right? Abraham, when he asked for that AAA map, his map was perfectly blank. He had no clue. He lived in the desert, and the promise to him was, "Listen, I want you to go 500 miles into the desert over on that, just over that fifth, you know, that other sand dune, way, 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 way over there, and there's a good promised land for you. A good land that I'm going to give you." What faith he had to have to believe that. He probably wandered in the wilderness for some time and taking care of the needs that he had in his family, but also his flocks. And just to think and imagine, God spoke to him and said, I want you to get up and go. And what did Abraham do? He went. Going not knowing is what verse 8 tells us. He went by faith, taking God at his word. And he saw a land. But what's fascinating is even though he went to that promised land, and even though God said, in fact, I'm going to give you a promised seed, a child, he went forward in faith. But what the author of Hebrews is wanting you and I to see is he wasn't just going to that promised land. He was looking something far beyond that as well. Where was he looking? He was looking to the city whose builder is God. To the eternal city. He was looking for the place that God was preparing for them, the heavenly country. And that's how we're supposed to navigate life as well. You and I are supposed to be, listen, our vision is supposed to be looking that far out because our outlook out there influences what happens today. And so that's what Abraham embodies for us. He went forward in faith, but he was looking not across the dunes. He was looking through the clouds. He was looking to the city of the eternal city whose builder is God. Now, in order for that to happen, you have to take God at his word. You have to believe the precious promises that he gives you. He highlights one particularly here of having a child. And that didn't make sense to him. It didn't make sense to Sarai. And you know, so much they try to take matters into their own hands, right? Here's Hagar. Let her bring forth the promised heir because we're clearly not going to have a baby. But that wasn't God's plan. And sometimes, let's be honest, because we get ahead of God, we try to take things into our own hands and manipulate things to make it happen. And that didn't turn out well for Abraham and Sarai. But the author wants us to see that God who promised that seed delivered that as well. And they both, Abraham and his bride, had to judge God that he was faithful to do what he said he would do. Beloved, do you believe he will do what he says he will do? It's the assurance that he has given us in his word. All of these promises are given time and time again, and he demonstrates his faithfulness in bringing them to pass to build and strengthen our faith so that each day, day by day, we take a step of faith and we trust. They knew God. They were persuaded. They trusted him. And one of the best ways you and I build that assurance in our own heart is simply taking God today at his word. This is the only day I have to live. Let me live it to the fullest. Taking God at his word and simply putting into practice the truth that I've heard him speak to me. And as you and I do that, taking one step at a time, each day, trusting and obeying, simply, you know what happens? You became even more certain. You become even more certain that God, what he's going to say, what he's going to bring it to pass. And that truth grips you. Why? Well, if he was a liar, there'd be no reason to believe him, right? But he isn't a liar. He speaks the truth. He gives promises and makes covenants. Why? Because he is faithful to what he says he will do. Abraham was certain of it. In fact, it's interesting. If you write in the margin of your Bible, Romans 4:21, Paul comments over there also in the book of Romans about the father of faith and what he believed. And over in Romans 4:21, he says this same thing, 4:20 and 4:21 of chapter of Romans. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. Do you believe God's almighty? Amen? Man, that sounded weak, y'all. Is God all-powerful? Yes? Everyone who comes has to believe that he's all-powerful. There can only be one all-powerful God. There's not this dualism, all right? Yin and yang, all right? That's a false understanding of the nature of deity out there that's embraced by the world. No, there's one almighty God. That almighty God is sovereign in control. If he has all the power, that means he's in control of all things. He's sovereign, which means his will be done, all right? If that God is the Almighty God, he has the power to do precisely what he says he's able to do. Because if he didn't have the power to do it, then he'd be a liar and he wouldn't be one worth believing in. But they believed God could do the impossible, which is have a barren woman and man, have them bring forth a child. And God showed he was able to do it. They took him at his word. They believed the promises. They were assured God was able. And we have to walk by faith the same way, believing our God has all power and he's able to do all things. Without God, it's impossible to do anything. You need God. And by faith, we trust him. Now, what's fascinating, we've already seen in Hebrews how God spoke to Abraham and confirmed this by two immutable things over in chapter 6. If you just turn back there, when we were going through earlier in Hebrews, over in chapter 6, in verses 16 through 18, it says, well, I'll start in verse 13 through 18 of chapter 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, God's the Almighty, he's the greatest being, okay? He swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, Abraham, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. But thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. What is that hope? Of a promised land, of a relationship, to always be God's people, to dwell in his presence and ensure and enjoy all of the goodness that he has for us for eternity. We walk by faith assured of this, just as Father Abraham did. And God gave him two immutable things, his counsel and his oath. What is God's counsel? Well, it's really simply this. Ready? Thus saith the Lord. That's God's counsel. God speaks. That's it. God speaks. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It will be true. It will come to pass. But you're encouraged. He invites us to take him at his word. He invites you to believe what he says and build your life on what he says. And based on that counsel, which listen, the counsel of the Lord shall stand, the wise man tells us in Proverbs 19. The counsel of the Lord will stand. There's many devices in men's heart, but nevertheless, it's the counsel of God which will always stand and you can build your life on. But he also gave his oath. He confirmed that his counsel would come to pass. And by himself, he pledged himself and gave an oath of himself. He made covenants. And so God's not like us, right? God's not like man that he should lie. He's not like the Son of Man that he should repent. Numbers tells us no. If God has said it, he will do it. And Abraham believed it. And to make it so, God promised by both his counsel that he had spoken and by his own person, who he is, a God faithful and true, that he would bring it to pass. And we have to take God in the same way at his word and be assured that what he has said, he will bring to pass. What's fascinating is if you turn to the right over here to 1 Peter and then 2 Peter, over in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says that we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Peter says, listen, as believers, you know what we've received? Just like Father Abraham, we have received great and precious promises. Beloved, God has spoken to us. We need to take him at his word. He has said, yea and amen. They will all come to pass. If one of them fails, he's not God. But beloved, he is. And he will bring in his time every single one to pass. Be assured of it and build your life on it. Or as it says here, embrace it. Take a hold of it. Don't just say, I'll take it. I'll believe it. No. Take it in your arms. Take it in your heart, right? Don't be indifferent to God when he speaks. When he speaks, it's yea and amen. Embrace it. Delight in it. Find joy in it. Let it flood your heart and flood your soul. That's what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that's what these did. Even though they didn't receive the promise, they still believed God would keep his word. Ultimately, they received the promise. Ultimately, they dwell in God's presence. And ultimately, we will as well. But faith, that's how it sees. It sees what is ahead. And it not only does it just see what is ahead, it sees that there's far more to offer that's ahead. Notice what he says here. For these, verse 14, for these who say such things declare plainly that they are seeking a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had came out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now, what's fascinating, he's saying, listen, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, if they remember, they could have gone back to Ur. They could have gone back to the Chaldeans, but they didn't. They didn't go back. They had opportunity. They just had to go and return to where they came. But they chose to believe God had something more to offer them. Abraham left all of his stuff back in Ur. He sojourned. And as he went, what's fascinating when you read in Genesis, as God brought him through and to the promised land, and even when he marched all through it, everywhere that Abraham went, he did two things. And that's what we do when we realize we've got something far better on the other side. The first thing he did everywhere he went was he pitched his tent. Why did he pitch his tent? Well, this is where God had him for a moment, for a season. And so he was all there. And he pitched his tent. And he realized, you know what? He was a pilgrim. If you like to camp out, and I'm not talking about the great big trailers that follow your truck, right? I'm talking about real camping out, right? In a tent on the hard ground, being grounded on a sleeping bag. Oh, those are the days I can remember. Amen. Now they even make that so easy. They got those cushions that you take your little air thing and blow it up. Oh, that's not camping out. Come on. Abraham, he went forward in faith everywhere he went. He pitched his tent because that's where God took him. He was a wanderer. And we get so attached to this world that we forget we're just pilgrims passing through. He also, everywhere he went, built an altar. That's what is repeated over and over in Genesis. That when he pitched his tent, the next thing he did oftentimes was he built an altar. Why? Because he realized he was a worshiper. And everywhere he went, he was worshiping his God. Now you take those two ideas and you see, listen, you bring them together. A wanderer, that means you're just a pilgrim marching through. A worshiper, that means you're a priest. And that idea of a pilgrim priesthood is exactly what Peter says over in 1 Peter. That's who we are as the people of God. We're just passing through. We're strangers and aliens in this world. We live by faith, trusting in the Almighty God and walking towards all that He has prepared for us and is preparing for us. And as we go, we worship and we bear witness that once we were in darkness, but praise God, we're now in light. Once we had not received mercy, but praise God, now we have received mercy. And we're certain of this, that one day we are going to arrive. Now here's the thing. I want to give you an illustration of this. Hopefully to see how you see far more ahead than you do. That's behind. They could have gone back. They could have returned. They could have gone back to their country from which they came out of, right? They had opportunity to return. They could have done that. It reminded me of driving. Now, I've had the privilege now of teaching 7 children how to drive, and I still have hair. So praise God, right? All right? Now, the amazing thing about teaching them how to drive, moms and dads, you know what I'm talking about. You get in the car and you remind them, this is a seatbelt. That's the first thing, okay? Right? And then you help them to adjust the seat. And these are all the knobs. And this is with the lights. And these are the blinkers. And that's the, you know, this is the warning light, okay? And then the next thing you do is you help them to adjust the mirrors, right? So they can see. And that they can see out the left and out the right, and then the rearview mirror here, and do that. And then as they're driving, you have to teach them what's the purpose of the mirrors. Like when you're merging onto traffic, right? You know, look over your shoulder, but also look in the mirror. Use the mirror. That's what the mirror's there for. And then driving, sometimes it's important to know what the rearview mirror is for, to know something's coming up and approaching you. But when you're driving, do you realize you can't drive forward looking in the rearview mirror, looking back? Hello? Right? You can't drive forward as well, because, you know, sometimes even when you look in that side mirror to see, what do you do with the steering wheel sometimes? It's difficult. That's the same way spiritually. Too many, oh, by the way, also you have to remind them, the rearview mirror is not just to look at yourself. Hey, that's sometimes what clouds our vision going forward too, amen? It does. No. We teach them that you use those, and sometimes you know what's coming up or what's been in the past, but you know what? You're looking forward, driving, going forward, and that's what faith does. They could have looked back. They could have gone back to their country, but they didn't. They saw something better. They saw far more ahead, and they went forward in faith, and that's what you and I need to do. Individually in our walk of faith, but also corporately as a church, what God has called us to do. Some people in their individual lives, they're living in the rearview mirrors, just looking at the past. Whether that's something good that's happened and they've just, you know, I've done my stuff for Jesus. I'm done. I've done it. Or you know what? I've got guilt from my past and I haven't let Jesus deal with it. And it's clouding me. It's not helping me to go forward in faith. And yet God's done everything necessary. He's provided everything necessary, as we've learned in Hebrews, to give us victory over sin. And to give us an encouragement to go forward in faith. Corporately, listen, there are churches, listen, they're looking in the rearview mirror. Oh, yeah, we did that 20 years ago. We did that 30 years ago. And they're not going forward doing anything by faith. Beloved, you can't live the life of faith standing still. And you have to go forward where God is directing you, individually and corporately. And every step of the way, man, we're rejoicing because the one who's leading us, he's faithful and true. And praise God, he's all powerful and able to do what he says he's going to do. So we go forward in faith. Do we look at a glance every now and then in the mirrors? Yeah, you have to. And by the way, it's helpful sometimes just to pause for a moment and look and reflect and remember, man, I remember where I once was. Praise God. Look what he's done in my life. I can celebrate that. I wonder what he's got in store for me. You see, spiritually, corporately, don't be stuck looking in the rear view mirror. Jesus calls us to go forward and to go forward in faith. In fact, we're supposed to fix our eyes. We're going to discover that in this race of faith when we get to chapter 12. You and I have got to look forward and fix our eyes on him. Where is he? He's on his throne in heaven. We should be looking up, looking out, looking forward to all that he has in store for us. Don't look back at what's here. Don't get tied down to it. There's far more ahead, far better ahead, is what he says in this next verse. Now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country, that therefore God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Beloved, there's something far better that awaits us. Amen. This is why we have an optimistic outlook. This is why we don't have a spirit of fear. This is why we go forward in faith. This is why we realize we can take the banner of Jesus and the gates of hell can't stop us. And you go forward in faith. That's one of the things, you know what? You're not ashamed of your faith. You're not ashamed of your identity. You know whose you are. You know what he has promised. And you go forward believing he's able to do everything he says in his word. These promises are precious to me. They're precious to us. And we should be living by faith, believing them, and engaging the culture around us. That's what Charlie Kirk was doing. He was convinced. God wasn't ashamed, it says here in Hebrews, that, you know, God is not ashamed to be called their God. I mean, you stop and think, when you live by faith, resting and trusting and believing everything he said, and going forward and attempting great things for God, Nate Saint would say that, I believe it was, right? Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Go forward in faith. If that's in your personal walk today and God's convicting you about something you need to do, go forward in faith based on what God says. By the way, that's not a liver quiver and some feeling you have. It's God's word. All right? It has to be consistent with God's word. Go forward. Take him at his word. Believe what he says. Everything in Jesus is yea and amen. They knew whose they were. They were strangers. They were pilgrims. They knew that their home was elsewhere. They knew they were on a journey and they walked by faith. And they earnestly pressed forward and were living and looking for heaven and all that God had in store for him. If you and I, listen, as a people of faith are walking this way, do you know there's some things that affects? It affects my priorities in life. I live today in light of what's in store for me. I mean, one day I'm going to give an account, right? I'm going to have to stand before the king, and I'm going to have to give an account for my minas, how many he gave me and what I did with them. Jesus would say, listen, if that's the case, then store up your treasure over there. The things I do with my riches here, I'm investing eternally because I realize there's an eternal investment on the other side, and I want to be found faithful with stewarding that which I've been given here, being found faithful with it. You see, our outlook, our look to the future and what we believe is going to happen, it influences us today. We don't get too tied down. We don't hold on too tightly to the things of this world because we realize with God, you just live with an open hand. You realize who the provider is. There's nothing that he can't do. And we live looking to what he's preparing. They were looking, listen, God was preparing for them a city. Is he preparing one for us? Do you believe that? Remember what Jesus said? The disciples were there. He was telling them, John chapter 14, listen, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be dismayed. I'm going away. Where are you going? What do you mean, where are you going? That's not part of the plan. Where are you leaving us? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what's the promise? I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's the promise. Later in John 14, John in verse 27, he'll say this. Not only does he promise us a place, he promises us while we're here a presence, his spirit. Let not your hearts be troubled. I will send another comforter, and his peace, the peace, my peace, will come with him. God gives us a peace and an assurance, beloved. Every step of the way, we're going to get there one day. Walk that way. Live that way. Be identified as the people of God. Know whose you are and what he's going to do. And live for that new city called Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. The city it's coming. I've read about it in the book of Revelation. It's going to take place. And I should live today as though that could happen. It could happen this evening. None of us knows that day when Christ is going to return, but I should live every day with the expectation, because I'm living for that city, looking for that city. I can't wait to get to that city myself. And my faith should reflect that in the decisions that I make. Remember, faith goes forward. It goes forward taking steps, and those are the immediate decisions I need to make that affect me today, but it has a pathway that it's going down, and that pathway is going to be straight. It's going to be a righteous path, because the shepherd's going to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, so I can know I'm on the right path, taking steps, you know, the right steps along the way, and ultimately I know where that path ends. Now, that path may take me through some valleys, but praise God, it'll take me to the mountaintop too, and that's what we look forward to. Now, here's the amazing thing. Stop and think about this. How much closer are we to it than they? We're a lot closer, aren't we? About 3,000-4,000 years probably, right? We're far farther down the road than they were. And yet they believed and kept going forward in faith. Walking, believing. How many promises did they have? How many promises have we received? How many times have we seen God be faithful to his promises? How much more should you and I keep going forward in faith? Keep believing. The devil would love for you and I not to take God at his word. Not to believe God is who he says he is and what he is able to do. He would love that. Beloved, he doesn't want us to trust him. But beloved, we can. And we should. And we must. And every day of the way, listen, you are influencing somebody by your steps of faith. Keep influencing them. Men, lead your home in this way. Let's point our children in the right direction, but let's not just point them. Let's lead them by our actions so that they will one day arrive with us. We want to take as many with us as we can. This journey is for any and all who will call on the name of the Lord. Amen? Let's choose to believe that. Let's live that way. Believing is seeing, even though you haven't seen it. I mean, I stop and think about Thomas, right? You remember the apostle, the disciple Thomas? What happened? He wasn't there when the Lord was raised and didn't see him when some of the disciples were gathered and Thomas wasn't there. And so what happened? He doubted, right? Oh, unless I put my finger in his imprints of his hands and stick my finger in his side, right? I'm not going to believe until I see it for myself. And it's fascinating. Jesus, John tells us over in his gospel, right? Jesus appeared to them. He said, hey, Thomas, come here. Come here. Put your finger right here. Go ahead, look at my side. Thomas fell and my Lord and my God. Now, what's fascinating, stop and think about this. He saw and he believed. And yet Jesus said, you know what? Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. That's us. There's a blessing for us who haven't seen and yet believe. Not just that the Lord was raised from the dead. We take them at his word. But beloved, all these blessings that he has promised us that we haven't seen yet, he is faithful and true to do them, and we walk forward in faith, believing God will do exactly what he says he will do. You have to have faith. Faith is faith, you know, it saves us by grace. You're saved through faith. That faith is realizing I can't save myself. I have to trust in God. There's a great acronym that we used to use called Forsaking All I Trust Him. forsaking all. I can't save myself. I can't be good enough. I'm a wretched sinner and I can't save myself. I need God's mercy. I need Christ Jesus who offered the sacrifice. I'm forsaking all I think I can do. I'm trusting in Him alone. We've read about His sacrifice in the book of Hebrews that was offered once for all time. It's sufficient. Praise the Lord. Resting and trusting in the offering Christ has made for us. Praise the Lord. But we live by faith too. Beloved, that means we trust Him. We take Him at His word and we go forward. Do you have that faith? Is that faith, listen, is it steering towards, oriented towards, driving towards, walking towards, going towards, looking forward towards heaven and what God has prepared for us? It should be taking those steps each and every day, looking forward with anticipation. Praise God, it could be today. Praise the Lord, it could be today. And I'm living for it. And see, we know more of the story. We know the end of the story. And we've seen God's faithfulness in a myriad of ways. So look back every now and then in the rearview mirror and praise God and thank Him, but don't look there too long. Take a moment, praise Him, thank Him. Thank Him for His faithfulness and say, God, I'm going forward in faith again. I'm believing. I'm trusting. Continue to lead me. You see, that's what we should do in obedience. Patiently waiting on the Lord and His timing, knowing that He will bring all things to pass. He will make all the wrongs right one day. But we go forward in faith. And we, along the way, let's grab some more pilgrims with us. Amen. Let's bring some others with us. I don't want to go on this journey alone. You shouldn't want to go on this journey alone. I want to bring others with me on this journey until we reach His throne. And that's what faith does. It goes forward. And church, we need to go forward, individually and corporately, all the way until we reach His throne, one step at a time. I invite you to bow your heads with me this morning for just a moment. Let's just pause for a moment and reflect. Is my faith going forward? Am I believing there's an eternal heavenly hope awaiting me? And is that influencing the decisions that I'm making today, each step of the way?
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.